This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we'll be reading from verse number 45 of Surah Fussilat, which is page number 477 of the Sahih International Translation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ مُرِيبٍ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ إليه يرد علم الساعة وما تخرج من ثمرات من أكمامها وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه ويوم يناديهم أين شركائي قالوا آذناك ما منا من شهيد وضل عنهم ما كانوا يدعون من قبل وظنوا ما لهم من محيص لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير وإن مسه الشر فيئوس قنوط ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده للحسنى فلننبئن الذين كفروا بما عملوا ولنذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وإذا مسه الشر فذو دعاء عريض قل أرأيتم إن كان من عند الله ثم كفرتم به من أضل ممن هو في شقاق بعيد سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق أولم يكف بربك أنه على كل شيء شهيد ألا إنهم في مرية من لقاء ربهم ألا إنه بكل شيء محيط
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions. May Allah bless every single one of them and bless us all. Ameen. We commence with a short dua for the sister who's passed away in our community in the early hours of this morning. May Allah grant her Jannah. May Allah forgive her sins and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannah as well. And may He make us also from amongst those who have an easy death by His will and at the same time a death wherein He is pleased with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the marhumeen, those who've passed on, Jannah. May He grant them paradise, may He forgive them, may He have mercy on them. My mothers and sisters, before I go into the verses of this morning, I wish to make mention of something that is a reality. The sooner that we realize that we are going to return to Allah, our Maker, the quicker we will be able to develop a link with Him, a stronger link. Or should I say, the sooner we realize that we have no hope but in the mercy of Allah because we are going to return to Him, the stronger our relation becomes with Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen this relation. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. You know, when people think of death, sometimes they think, well, I don't know what's going to come thereafter. A believer doesn't say that. A believer says, I have firm conviction, belief, that I will be in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a plan and a place, and His mercy will encompass myself as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really have mercy on us. The verses that I've just read before you this morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off, or should I say the verses that we have read, have started at a point where Allah is making mention of Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we had already given Moses the scripture, Musa alayhi salam, may peace be upon him. But it came under disagreement. So Allah says, and we had already given Moses the scripture, but it came under disagreement. They disagreed regarding the scripture. The people were not all united regarding the scripture that we sent to the Prophet Moses, may peace be upon him. Ukhtulifa fihi. It was disagreed upon, in the sense that obviously those who were believers, they accepted it. But there were people who rejected it. They were known as the disbelievers. They were the ones whom Allah had given respite. And Allah had given them a fair period of time to turn. When they did not turn, then He punished them in a way that He decided and chose. May Allah not punish us, and may He have mercy on us. May we not be from amongst those who dispute regarding the verses of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance, and may He grant us ease, and at the same time may He grant us from those who learn a lesson from what happened in the past. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if not for a word or a decree from us, if it was not for a decree that proceeded from your Lord, it would have been concluded between them, and indeed they are concerning it, meaning concerning the Quran, in disquieting doubts. Now this is referring to the people of Quraysh and the Kuffar who have disputed regarding the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had it not been for a decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed, it would have already been decided, meaning we would have destroyed them a long time ago. We would have done whatever we wanted to them, but we've given them a chance, a time. And for this reason, you find kuffar who are on earth do not always taste difficulty whilst they are alive here on earth. Because Allah gives them a chance, He gives them time, and He gives them respite. Sometimes He gives them goodness for whatever good they may have done, but because they don't have belief, they lose out on the hereafter, according to what we've been taught. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says quite clearly that we had already predestined when they were going to be destroyed, or what was going to happen to them, and what would happen to them thereafter in the hereafter, and therefore we left it, and we did not punish them, or we did not change that decree. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us learn a lesson. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that had it not been for that, it would have already been decided, the matter between you and them. It would have been over. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to get up, to convey the message, to struggle, to strive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to understand His plan and so on. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He says, they are in doubt regarding the Quran. Who is in doubt? The disbelievers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this is why Allah says, the Quran, there is no doubt in it. If you take a look at the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book, there is no doubt in it. There is guidance for those who have piety, those who are conscious of Allah. So if a person does not have piety, does not have taqwa, they do not achieve anything. And this is why it is said that with whatever intention you read the Quran, you will be granted increase in that particular intention of yours. So if you read it in order to earn a reward, you are granted a multiplied reward. If you read it in order to be granted an understanding, you will be granted a multiplied understanding, a good understanding, depending on the effort that you've made and the acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you've read it in order to find problem and difficulty and perhaps issues in it, you will be increased in that. You will come out with greater doubts. And perhaps you will come out with that which has plunged you into deeper disarray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And this is why Allah says, whoever does righteousness, this is the next verse, man amila salihan, whoever does good deeds, it is for his own soul. Whoever does good deeds, it is for his own soul. And whoever does evil, does so against his own soul. And your Lord is not ever unjust to his servants. Meaning he is never unjust to his servants. Now I want to pause there for a moment, you know, seeing that we've just had a death in society and many people have actually died of late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah. If you take a careful look at the norm in society, a person dies and then we start saying, okay, let's start doing good deeds on their behalf. So we want to build a masjid, we want to drill boreholes, we want to do this, we want to do that. Fair enough. We need to understand, whilst we are alive, did you ever know it is far more powerful to do the deed yourself when you were given the strength, the power and the ability? Don't wait to die and let others do it on your behalf. I'm not speaking of it being right or wrong. No, I'm just speaking of an encouragement to myself and yourselves who are alive still to say, do it while you're alive. You know, spread the good. Do whatever you'd like. Perhaps drill the boreholes now. Plant trees that would perhaps grow fruit and people would benefit from it. Or maybe if you want to contribute towards building a masjid or something, a school or whatever else it is, start doing it now. Contribute towards it now whilst you're alive. So that will definitely be multiplied because it's a deed done by yourself. Look at the verse. Allah says, whoever does a good deed, it is for his own soul. And whoever does evil, does it against it, meaning against his own soul. And your Lord is never unjust to his servants. So the best deed is the deed we do ourselves. And this is why even if we've committed sin and it's against ourselves, the best way of wiping it out is through tawbah. Ask Allah's forgiveness. And Allah is ever forgiving, most merciful. When we say ever forgiving, did you know that there is nothing, nothing that Allah will not forgive if you ask for forgiveness? So if you ask for forgiveness, there is nothing that Allah will not forgive, not even shirk. If you have committed shirk in the past, you've done whatever in the past, and there comes a day whilst you're still breathing when you say, oh Allah, I regret, I repent, I admit my fault, I'm not going to do it again, wiped out. Totally gone. Absolutely. Islam is based on the mercy of Allah. Because Allah starts off by saying, in the name of Allah, most beneficent, most merciful. Subhanallah. The beneficent, the merciful. That's Allah. Most forgiving, most merciful. Ghafoor, Rahim. Rahman, Rahim. What type of qualities these are. So never lose hope. No matter what has happened in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it quite clear to say that if you're alive and you're still breathing and you repent from whatever it was, we will forgive you. The only thing is if you die in the condition of not having repented and you have still committed sin, then Allah says, now those who have committed shirk are in danger. And those who've committed any other sin, I will look into it and see if I want to forgive them, and I may forgive them. I may. So if a person has died, say suddenly, and they did not repent from the sins they committed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such a death. So that is when the warning of Allah comes in. And why we say that this is the warning of Allah for those who have died already, because we are alive, but we don't know when we are going to die. So it's up to us to ensure that we utilize the fact that we are breathing to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us. May He have mercy on us. We are weak. We are insan. Insan, human beings, humankind, weak. You know, the environment affects us. People affect us. Shaitan comes to harass us and trouble us. But the truth is, like I started at the beginning by saying, the sooner we know that we are returning to Allah, the Maker, the quicker or the stronger the relationship becomes between us and Allah. subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about it. You know, when I think about it every single day, sometimes a few times in the day, that if I were to return to Allah right now, what would be my condition? Where would I go? You know, I would be perhaps, Allah knows best, but laying enshrouded in the kafan. And people will be looking at me and saying, "Oh, this guy was alive just now, the other day, he was talking, now he's gone." Well, guess what? You can help yourself right here, right now. But on that day, one wonders what exactly would be taking place. Like I said, we believe firmly that we are in the mercy of Allah. But we would like to hope that that mercy would result in us earning Jannah. Ameen. We make dua in that regard. So my mothers and sisters, it's a powerful reminder to say, turn to Allah. You know, we were reading verses yesterday of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. Some people have become so happy with this worldly life that they've forgotten that the worldly life is nothing compared to what's in waiting in the hereafter. It's nothing. It's just a pastime. Allah has placed it here only for us to make use of whilst we are in the examination room. It's like taking a lunchbox and going into the exam room, and whilst you're writing, you're allowed to eat. If you lose track of the fact that you are in an exam room and you're busy eating your lunch and you're looking at everyone else's lunch thinking, how can I get that into my belly? Then you lose out. And this is what's happening in the world. We have our lunch whilst we're alive. We work for it and mashallah we do. But we look at other people's lunches. Subhanallah. Oh, that's a Mercedes. Look at that. That's something else. It's fine. Mashallah. Say alhamdulillah. Perhaps if Allah's given you or blessed you through halal means to afford that, by all means. In fact, someone was correcting my pronunciation and telling me it's not Mercedes, it's Mercedes. Allahu Akbar. Well, then it talks, because say is from speaking, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. My mothers and sisters, it's something to think about. We are just in an exam room and what we have is our lunch. We're going to leave the lunchbox and everything gone. Completely. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's amazing. It's true. And if we get so engrossed in the type of lunchbox we have and exactly what type of jam is in the sandwich, then what happens? We lose track of the examination. Come out with zero. What happened? I smeared all my butter onto the paper. Because it was all over my hands. And there was no water to clean, to wash, so on. Obviously, I'm just giving you an example. But my mothers and sisters, that is what happens to us in this world. We lose track very quickly. So this is why Allah says, those disbelievers, فَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They have become so happy, it's enough for them to have lived a beautiful life in this world. That's okay. They think that that's it, it's over. And now we've led such a nice life and we've succeeded. When we die, people will remember us for having earned so much, for having had so much in terms of qualification and having been top people who had authority on earth, not realizing that no matter what they remember you for, the truth is what you earned for the hereafter is what would be helping you the same time that they will be talking about you, because you're now gone. So the world can think I was a top shot, but the truth is if I didn't prepare for where I would be at that particular time, I've lost. And this is why Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. The comparison of this world to that of the next is just nothing. It's just a small provision. It's absolutely nil, to be honest with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand the powerful message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 46, whoever does righteousness, whoever does good deeds, it's for themselves. May Allah make it easy for us to do good deeds. And whoever does bad deeds, it's against them. They must not blame anyone else. It's themselves. And this is why when people call you towards evil, think about it before you do it. Think about it. It is your brain, your mind, your capacity, your capability. Ask Allah's help, because He will guide you through those faculties that He's blessed you with to understand that it is wrong. I should not be doing this. And then He will grant you the ability to turn to the right path. This is why we say, "Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path," so many times a day. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. May Allah favor us as well. Ameen. So Allah says, to Him alone is attributed knowledge of the hour. إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Someone asks, when is the knowledge of the hour? Look at what Allah says. To Him alone is attributed knowledge of the hour. So Allah is the knower of the unseen, the only supreme knower of the unseen. He may have given some of the messengers some knowledge of the unseen, but He is the owner of the knowledge of the unseen, supreme. When it comes to the hour, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when is the hour? And he gave the powerful, famous answer, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The person who is being asked about it has no more knowledge regarding it than the one who is asking. Which means Allah knows, we don't know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. The hour normally, usually refers to two things. The first is Qiyamah, the end of time. And the second is our own little Qiyamah, the day we die. مَنْ مَاتَ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. Whoever passes away, their Qiyamah has already come. Which means your time has come. It's over. The game is over. Like we say, you're now out of the exam room. Too late. The papers are collected. You cannot change your answers. May Allah make it easy for us. Then Allah says, and fruits emerge not from their coverings, nor does a female conceive or give birth except with his knowledge. This is the knowledge of Allah. He knows everything. Fruits do not emerge from their coverings, nor does a female conceive or give birth except with his knowledge. And the day he will call to them, where are my partners? They will say, we announced to you that there is no longer amongst us any witness to that. Look at this. Speaking about shirk. Shirk meaning Allah is going to ask, where are my partners? You used to worship deities besides me. Where are they? I want to see them. Where are they? And this has appeared in so many places in the Quran, confirming this question that Allah is going to be asking. Those who worship sticks and stones, and those who worship saints and prophets and animals and everything else, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the protection from shirk. So Allah will ask them, where are these people whom you used to worship besides me? Where are my partners? So those who were good from amongst those who were worshipped, like people worship Jesus, may peace be upon him, Jesus, may peace be upon him, will distance himself from anything of this sort. He will say, I never ever told people to worship me, but I told them to worship the one who made me and who made them. And that was you, O Allah. But as for the evil ones who were being worshipped, they will join those who worship them in hellfire. We speak here of the Pharaoh, for example. He used to say, I am God, worship me. I don't know of any deity besides myself. Imagine the arrogance. And he knew that he too used to use the loo. A'udhu billah. And he called himself deity. I'm the God. Imagine the God sitting with diarrhea. Astaghfirullah. A'udhu billah. May Allah protect us. Foolish. Totally foolish. But that was the Pharaoh. More foolish than him were those who worshipped him and said, yes, yes, you are the God. A'udhu billah. You know, the other day I was reading some article of a person who gathered women who were sick and ill, and he told them to drink the water that had been used to wash his feet, and they were all drinking it and they felt better. Subhanallah. A'udhu billah. They felt better. They were being asked, so how do you feel? Oh, mashallah, I feel so good. I think I'm cured. And what happened? The feet of this person were being washed in water. But that is what we say when shaitan overtakes people. This is what happens. A'udhu billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So they worship the Pharaoh as a god besides Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where are my partners? Let's see them. And they will say on that day, we announce to you, O Allah, that there is no longer amongst us any witness to that. Now we are admitting guilt. And we are admitting that no one is a partner to you. But like we said moments ago, you are out of the exam room. Too late to know the correct answer. We all did it when we had these major exams. And you know, you come out and you discuss with someone, hey, what did you say? You know that question, how was it? And someone says, then you say, oh no man, you know, I think I made a mistake there. Too late, too late. You should have discussed it before you went in. Allahu Akbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And lost from them will be those they were invoking before, and they will be certain that they have no place of escape. They now know we cannot run away. Like I said moments ago, we have no option but to hope in the mercy of Allah. Ya Allah, have mercy on us. Ya Allah, have mercy on us. Wallahi, I promise you, my mothers and sisters, when you understand the meaning of that statement, it will make you cry. Oh my Maker, have mercy on me. I came into existence and guess what? I'm going to leave this world. And only you are the one who's able to have mercy on me. So have mercy on me, Ya Allah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah have mercy on us. So Allah says here, and lost from them will be those they were invoking before. Gone. They won't even be able to find them. Where are they? Gone. Disappeared. Distanced themselves. Like Allah says, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. Those who were being followed will distance themselves from those who were following them when they see the punishment. No, no, no. We don't even know who these people are. We did not tell them to do this. And I told you they fall into several categories. Those who were being worshipped, some of them were innocent. I mean, if someone dies, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullahi alayhi, a saint, great saint. But did he tell anyone, worship me besides Allah, call out to me besides Allah? Never, never recorded. So if someone worships a person without them having instructed them to worship him or her, obviously they are free from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. So Allah says, man is not weary of supplication for good things, but if evil touches him, he becomes hopeless and despairing. Now this is speaking of the different types of reactions that come from mankind. Listen to this. Man is not weary of supplication for good things. When we want good things, we call out to Allah. And he doesn't become tired of that. Oh Allah, grant me this, grant me that. And you just want good things. But when evil touches him, then he does lose hope sometimes. Or Allah says he's hopeless and despairing. Becomes a person who's lost hope. And sometimes we don't realize that life is all about tests. If you don't understand that, you'll never ever enjoy your life. You have to be tested. That's why you were brought on earth. Because Allah said, I will test you every year, every month, perhaps every day. In your health, in your wealth. If you read the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, He tells you exactly which things He's going to test you in. And believe me, all the problems we ever have are connected to those things. He says it. Your wealth, your health, your food, lives around you, so on, produce, business, whatever else. And that's it. What else do you have a test regarding? The decree of Allah. Allah says, Iman, your belief. You believe that Allah is the owner. Okay, we won't give you children. Now what are you going to do? Allahu Akbar. The minute you surrender, you go to Jannah. The minute you don't, you end up doing wrong things. You know, we end up with these guys and those guys and this nyangas and whatever else, you know. The what do they call them? Sangomas and witch doctors and so on, making things worse. But you still don't get the solution. And even if you do, what you did was wrong. It's like pinching, stealing. You can become rich overnight, but believe me, you don't enjoy that wealth. Not at all. So you have a choice. Do it the right way or the wrong way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for every one of us. We all have different tests. And I want to tell you something powerful. My mothers and sisters, Allah chooses your tests. And if you don't want that test, perhaps He would have given you a bigger test that would have been very, very difficult for you. So thank Him for the test He's given you that you have found okay to go through. Allahu Akbar. I know it's difficult. Everyone goes through hardship upon hardship. But that's life. That is what life is all about. Going through hardship and difficulties. So if Allah has tested you with something that you feel is so huge, thank Him. To say, oh Allah, you chose this test for me, help me through it. And I thank you that it could have been much worse, but you chose the lighter one for me. Allahu Akbar. As big as it may be, it's lighter than what it could have been. Always. Since we were kids, we've been taught this by our folks. And this is one thing that they taught us that was absolutely correct. Whenever something happened, they said, thank Allah, it could have been worse. And you know, at a time when perhaps we were weak, we said everything, they're saying it could have been worse, could have been worse, could have been worse, could have been worse. Well, that's the truth, because that's what life is all about. Now when we grow older and we read the Quran and Revelation and we understand, we realize, wallahi, that was a fact. So you have a test, I have a test. Perhaps I have 20 tests. I may know some of your tests, I may not know some of them, and the same applies. You may know one or two of what of the things I'm going through, but you may not know everything. And how do you know about my struggles? And how would I know about your struggles? It's Allah alone who knows. So what you need to do is thank Allah and continue. That's what life is. If you think life is going to be a smooth road, then you're wrong. You know the tar they're putting on this main road just nearby? If you think it's going to last forever, you're wrong. To me, it looked quite weak, to be honest with you. Yes. Allahu Akbar. It's not going to be easy. You'll be tested. You have a pothole here, a pothole there. You dodge this one, you hit the other one maybe. And while dodging the other one, you knock a dog. So it's one of those things. Allahu Akbar. You need to slow down, calm down. You know, don't be on the fast lane when it comes to worldly items. Slow down, slow down. Understand. Pause for a moment to think of where you're going. Where are you heading? If you were to disappear today, or should I say to die today, where would you go? What would happen to you? Have you got a few deeds that you can cling on to and say, Ya Allah, I did three things at least? Or is there nothing? That's the question. Because Allah is looking for any excuse to give you Jannah. Give Him that excuse. Any excuse. You say, Ya Allah, it was so tough for me to dress appropriately, but here it is, I did it. For you and just for you. The world told me whatever they needed to, or whatever they wanted to. But Ya Allah, this is my one deed, and grant me Jannah for it. And Allah says, you have it. How would you like that? Ya Allah, I was into this heavy metal and into so much and whatever. The day I heard it's wrong, I cut it completely, Ya Allah, for you and just for you. I replaced it with the Quran, Ya Allah. Allah says, okay, that's the one deed. I'm giving you Jannah. Go. I don't want to look at anything else. Let's go. Jannah. How's that? How's that? You die and people say, hey, she was smiling. Did you see that? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And no one knows. People think, oh, you know, you were this, you. They don't know your struggle. Between you and Allah, you're moving at your own pace. Allah knows that and Allah can see it. But let's move. That's the thing. Don't just remain stagnant. Don't just remain in one place without any movement whatsoever. Because that's dangerous. So this is the gift of Allah. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about the akhirah. Where are you heading? Man is not wary of supplication for good things. But if evil touches him, he's hopeless and despairing, not realizing that these are the tests of Allah. They come in various forms, shapes and sizes. And Allah says, and if we let him taste mercy from us after adversity which has touched him, he will surely say, this is due to me. This is because of me, my intellect, whatever I've done. Because of my effort, my knowledge, my excellence. So if a person is in deep problems, difficulty, and then they come out of that difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that you will find people saying that this is because of me. I made a plan. I did this. I did that. Allah says, no way. It's us. We gave you the capacity to do what you did. So remember to refer it to us. Even if you paid your way out. But Allah gave you the ability to do that. Other people don't have that. Allah, forgive us. Wallahi, we're living in times that are really tough. Believe me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So Allah says, don't be, meaning the message here is, don't be from amongst those whom, after evil had befallen them, which means after hardship, when ease came, they said, oh, this is me. It's got nothing to do with Allah. It's me. It was my power, my intellect. I was a sharp guy. I was witty. I was a shrewd business person. All this, you're relating it to yourself. Allah says, part of the test is to understand it's from Allah. And Allah says, they continue because now they're tasting so much of goodness after they were stuck in hardship. Now that they are tasting so much of goodness, they even go to the extent of saying, I do not think the hour will occur. Which means I don't think I'm going to die. And I don't think the hour is actually going to come. So they don't believe in the hereafter. And they deny the fact that they're going to return to Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the person continues to say, and even if I should be returned to my Lord, indeed, for me, there will be with him the best. Okay, that's hope. But if a person has not worked towards it, how can they keep on hoping? You know, someone sins every day. May Allah forgive us, really, really. May Allah forgive us. They have no intention of quitting. It doesn't even strike them. You see, my mothers and sisters, when a person is doing wrong every single day, but in their heart, they know that we need to change this thing here. And they know, and they're trying, and they're, you know, moving, even if it's a millimeter a day. But there is movement in their heart. It's becoming stronger and stronger. You're heading in the right direction. But if you're doing wrong and it's never crossed your mind that you need to turn and you need to change, you know it's wrong. And you're still saying, look, I know it's wrong, but anyway, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. If that's the attitude, then you're playing with Allah. That's what it is. So when you say, I know it's wrong, but Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, I'm trying. The last part of that, you know, statement is what is of essence. I'm trying. That's what it is. And my mothers and sisters, when we say I'm trying, we should try our best. We shouldn't just give it, you know, mediocre. Try our best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let's read the translation here. Allah says, and if we let him taste from us after an adversity which has touched him, mercy. So if we let him taste mercy from us after adversity which has touched him, he will surely say, this is due to me, my effort, my knowledge, my excellence. And I do not think the hour will occur. And even if I should be returned to my Lord, indeed, for me, there will be with him the best. So Allah says, but we will surely inform those who disbelieved about what they did. And we will surely make them taste a massive punishment. Now this is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously this would be referring more to the disbelievers. Because a believer really doesn't have that type of false hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, every one of us, we read our salah, don't we? I hope we do. May Allah strengthen us. Salah is one thing you cannot miss. You cannot miss. Come what may, you don't miss your salah. Allahu Akbar. Salatul Fajr, you must be there. You must be there. And I tell you what, the rest of the world is there. Allahu Akbar. You know, I went to Nigeria, and where I was staying, there was a masjid just nearby. Salatul Fajr, the place, there wasn't even anywhere to walk in, and it was still the time of Adhan. It might not have been such a massive masjid, but whatever it was, the place was full, and I'm busy thinking, wow, subhanallah, you know, people say Nigeria, and look at this, full, Salatul Fajr. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, these are the people, perhaps Allah will grant them Jannah. Because look at their dedication, the people are there, wholesale, meaning more than I've seen anywhere else. Salatul Fajr, the guys are there. Wow. And with us, Salatul Fajr, you know, you'd be lucky to see just a few people. May Allah strengthen us. Really, make a lot of dua. And together with that dua and the supplication, we need to make an effort. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when we bestow favor upon man, he turns away and distances himself. But when evil touches him, then he is full of extensive supplication. Now this is a verse that we can actually pause upon and ponder over very deeply, because a lot of us, myself included, need reminders. Allah says, when we've given you a favor, everything is going smooth. What happens? You forget Allah. Now this is one of the types of people. It happens to believers as well sometimes, where everything is running smooth. No problem with my children, no problem with my family, my health, my business, mashallah, everything flowing, whatever else. Allah's given me everything. So as a result, we relax. You know, we dress how we want. We do what we want. We go where we want. We listen to what we want. Everything is just okay. We can commit sin whenever we want. We don't even consider it sin, because to us, Allah's not even upset with us. But we don't realize whether you've got or have not got has got nothing to do with Allah being pleased with you. Sometimes Allah is most pleased with those He's given nothing to in this world. They lived under a tree, really. And He's most pleased with them. So it's not a guarantee that Allah is happy with you just because you have. And this is something we need to get into our heads. And we need to believe in our hearts. So Allah says, everything's smooth, they've forgotten me. And the minute we inflict them with something, oh, they make extensive dua. You know, dua, arid. Arid, when you hear the word arid, it means wide. Something that's wide. Wide, extensive, broad dua, long dua. Now, you know, people raise their hands when they're making dua. So the first thing that comes to my mind when I hear the term dua, dua in arid, I think of a person who's raised his hands and he's spaced them out so much because his dua is massive and huge. When I was a kid, I used to think that the people who are raising their hands and they're wide, one is right in the east and the other is in the west, have got massive problems, really. And the other ones making a small dua with their hands, you know, cupped very small near their faces, perhaps they've got minor issues. That's what we used to think. But obviously it's got nothing to do with that. We learn as we grow, and we learned as we grew that it's got nothing to do with that. But it reminds me of the fact that people who make dua, they turn, you know, they're shaking their hands, oh Allah, give this, give that to me, and so on. But hang on, 5 minutes ago, you were blessed with everything, and you didn't even know who Allah was. So perhaps this is your gift. If Allah wants you to remain in this beautiful condition of calling out to Him and not missing a salah and turning towards Him and so on, He can keep you in this condition. It's a blessing for you because when you die, you will be the closest you ever were to your Maker. But the minute He converts that back and He accepts the dua exactly as you want it and takes you out of your issue again, you will go back to where you were, perhaps, maybe. So sometimes Allah keeps us in a problem for 20 years until the point of death. He keeps us in the issue because we keep calling out to Him and He loves it. My worshipper, you've never called out to me. Wow, look at how you're calling out to me with total conviction. I love you in this condition. Let me keep you in this beautiful condition for 20 years. Wow. Allahu Akbar. So what is the solution of that? To get close to Allah during days of ease so that He will be close to you during days of difficulty. That's in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when a person has never ever called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah taps them with a little bit of difficulty to say, come to the masjid, or come read your salah, or come change your ways, your bad ways and habits, come improve yourself. So let's tap you with one thing, another thing, a third thing, a fourth thing, and your life is transformed. You become religious, subhanAllah. You know, sometimes you find people going through difficulty, and mashallah, it makes them very, very conscious of Allah, because they are in issues. Well, this is what the verse is talking about, making broad dua. Allahu Akbar, extensive dua to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, if this is what brought you close to Allah, then perhaps this is a gift of Allah for you. Because nothing brought you close to Allah. When He threw everything in your direction and He showered you with His blessings, nothing brought you to Him. So now He said, let me take the blessings away. Perhaps that will bring you to me. So He took it away one by one. Did it bring you closer to Him? Yes, it did. Well, then let Him leave you in that condition, because perhaps if He were to give it back to you, you were gone. I think you've understood exactly what I'm saying. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. May He not test us in that way. May we be from amongst those who turn to Him before calamity strikes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, have you considered if the Quran is from Allah and you disbelieved in it, who would be more astray than one who is in extreme dissension? So they used to reject the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to address them using a probability, a possibility, just in order to put forward an argument to them, to make them think. So it's not doubting at all, but it's only to make them think. Allah is saying, have you considered that if the Quran is from Allah, they used to say it's not from Allah. Okay, if you are saying it's not from Allah, what if it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you've disbelieved in it? Who would be more astray than the one who is in extreme dissension? So from this, Allah is asking them to ponder over the verses of the Quran, because they did not want to ponder. Everyone who did ponder over the verses of the Quran with a correct heart turned to Islam. But those who looked at it, like I said at the beginning, for the wrong reasons, they were increased in whatever they came for. Allah says, we will show them our signs in the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. The Quran is the truth. or
that Allah is the truth. Allah is the truth, in the sense that there will be discoveries within yourselves, in the horizons, over time, that will prove to you without any doubt that Allah is the truthful and the Quran is true. Because the Quran has in it secrets of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many. We've spoken about this quite a few times, to say so many discoveries that have been made are exactly what the Quran has said 1400 years back. But only today they're confirming it. And sometimes before they confirm something, they actually, their experiments lead them to conclude some wrong conclusions. To come to the wrong conclusions. And so they experiment again after 100 years, after 50 years, and so on, until they get to what the Quran said, and then they find that that's the final result. And this has been happening, and it continues to happen, and it will happen. Subhanallah. So Allah says, you know what? We created the earth and the heavens and whatever is between them. And we know what we've done. So whatever we've told you is 100% accurate. No doubt. But over time, you will discover that yes, what the Quran has said is right. Completely correct. And this has turned to Islam a lot of people. A lot of people who were researching and so on, they've turned to Islam because they've seen that this is absolute fact. Nobody could have known this except the Maker, the one who made. So Allah says, we challenge you. The signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made manifest. He says, you will realize, you will understand these signs. You will come to discover them. And you will know beyond doubt that the Quran is the truth and Allah is the truthful. But it is not sufficient concerning your Lord. But is it not sufficient concerning your Lord that He is over all things a witness? Is it not sufficient concerning your Lord that He is over all things a witness? Allah is watching. Allah watches myself, yourselves. Allah knows absolutely everything. What's happening to the ants underneath us? The white ants, the yellow ants, and all the other different ants, the brown ants and the black ants. Allah knows how many they are, where they are, what they're doing, why they're doing it, and so on, and whatever else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the menace of ants. Ameen. But that's just an example. Otherwise, Allah knows everything. The particles in the air, what they're made up of, and how they are there, and what's happening, every detail, what's inside the rock. Allah knows it. He's a witness. And the last verse of this powerful surah, Surah Fussilat, Allah says, unquestionably, they are in doubts about the meeting with their Lord. Unquestionably. He is of all things encompassing. What is the problem? The problem is they are doubting that they are going to meet with Allah. That's the disbelievers. So a believer does not doubt that he or she is going to meet with his Maker. But a disbeliever is in doubt. What will happen? I might die and I might become a snake in the next life. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, I've heard people say this. And sometimes they see a dove or a pigeon or a parrot and say, oh, might just be my granddad. He was a good man. He was a very good man. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. Wallahi, my mothers and sisters, this is ridiculous. May Allah protect us. We believe firmly. We were made by Allah. We will return to the one who made us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who made us, we return to Him. And there we are. We are answerable to Him. We cannot just be in doubt. What's going to happen? I'm doubting. Doubt as in what? When Allah has told you that you're going to be going to a life after death, and this is what's going to happen, and there's going to be accounts and accountability, hisab, as we call it in the Arabic language. That there is no doubt about. But yes, whether you are going to Jannah or Jahannam, we have hope in the mercy of Allah that we will go to Jannah. That we know, by the will of Allah, through His mercy. But the doubting of the hereafter, that's not there. We don't doubt it at all. We're going to go back to Allah. That's a believer. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. The believers do not doubt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us Jannah. May He give us the opportunity to turn to Him before we die. May He grant us the best of deaths. The death or a death in a way that he is pleased with us and he grants us paradise. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.